Oh, that's a lot of ringy dings. Hello, Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Etc. Back again with L. Ron Ferguson, the local one percenter. He's one of our hypnotherapists here at the center, one of the best in the world. He really knows what he's doing. If I have friends, relatives in the area that need help, I refer them to L. Ron. In fact, I refer a lot of people to L. Ron. He sees more clients at our center than I do by far. Let's see, what else can I say about L. Ron? He also helps supervise the practice sessions in my certification course. He's also going to be speaking at, now it's already passed, the Solid Gold Weekend, and I hope he will speak at the NGH convention. We'll just have to see how that works out. How you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal, and thanks so much for your confidence and your endorsement of me today. It's definitely an honor for me to be here, as always. Thanks for having me back on the show. For those of you that don't know who Cal is, well, you probably should by now. Like I always say, he sailed around the world eating only the fish he caught with hypnosis. And so, as always, it's an honor for me to be here to talk about hypnosis with you. And if I ever need a shoulder to do instant inductions on, that would be Cal. So thanks, Cal.
You're kind of getting kind of wacky.
Acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, Cal.
Okay. Hey, so let me tell you guys what we decided to do. Because I was talking to L. Ron, and, you know, when once we get out of class and we're seeing clients, and, you know, you don't have to keep going from hypnosis instructor to hypnosis instructor. If you've got a really good foundation, you really know what you're doing, then what you can do is your main teachers will be your clients. I said, L. Ron, why don't you do an episode or two where you just talk about what your clients have taught you about doing hypnosis and hypnotherapy. So I get a day off. I'm just going to turn this over to L. Ron, and then in like 20 minutes I just tell him, wrap it up. I might get a word in here edgewise. Go ahead, L. Ron. Tell him all about it.
All right, Cal, thanks for that. And I'm going to call on you for support from time to time because I want to know your two cents. Because otherwise, why would I even do this? I should just do another L. Ronathon if that's the case. I like to have Cal's feedback and support where it's needed. But yeah, so I was, as usual, Cal goes, so L. Ron, you know, come with some material. And I always go to Cal in the meantime. I don't know if Meredith does it, but I go, Cal, I need some ideas. I don't know what to talk about. I just can't we talk about old content and just talk about it again? And Cal suggested this, and he always knows the right question to ask to get me thinking, to put it in my subconscious mind and have something to talk about. So I wrote down a bunch of ideas of exactly what Cal mentioned. What did I learn from seeing clients? And I'm just going to start rattling through the list, and I'm sure that some of them may be familiar to some of you. Cal might have some two cents to say about that. You guys might be thinking, oh yeah, I've learned that too, or whoa, what's that? So there's a possibility that just by watching this video today, you'll get some gold nuggets that will help you learn from someone else's experience. So that's my objective today in sharing this information. So in no particular order, one of the things I learned is from seeing clients, and I didn't necessarily learn it from, you know, other hypnosis trainers or videos or books or anything. I really learned this through experience, and that's the power of a good first impression. When you see your client, it is very important that you dress professionally. And I know that we've done episodes on how to dress for success and all that other kind of stuff, but the real idea is that you're doing your client a favor. Another thing is to go up to them immediately and, you know, be warm. Make that good first impression and put as much thought into how you can do that as possible. Even get feedback from other people. And while you're getting your first impressions with your clients, the best way to improve on that, because there is always room for improvement, is to go back after the fact and ask yourself, is there anything that I could have done to improve the power of my first impression? And by having the courage to ask yourself that question, as I continually do myself, you will make better and better and better first impressions. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Cal, before I continue on that note?
I think that's excellent. Are you talking about the, like when you go out and you greet the client, or also when you first start doing the pre-hypnosis interview?
I would say it starts when you greet the client initially. So it could be said that there's two first impressions, but the most powerful first impression is when you see the client to begin with. The first time they look eyes on you, the first time you might shake their hand, unless shaking hands isn't appropriate, the first time you say, hello, my name is Cal, or my name is Elron, you must be, or, and your name is, or however it is, it's designed for you to greet them. Maybe you know their name previously, maybe you don't know their name already, whatever it is, that's the first impression. Does that make sense?
Sure, sounds good.
Yeah, and so the reason that you do that is, you know, number one, we always say people judge you subconsciously, right? Consciously, they may not judge you because that's not a good thing to do. You know, it's always the old adage of don't judge a book by its cover. But we know that we subconsciously judge people all the time. And so everything counts. Any little thing that you can do to create an environment that's going to make that other person feel comfortable, whether it's your demeanor, whether it's your decor, the lighting, so that it can be a neutral environment, so that you can be neutral, just neutral enough to put a positive influence on them, then that's the best thing. It's always that balance, right? If you come off as Mr. Positive and make it an awesome day kind of type hypnotist, that's going to really win with some people, but not with others. So you want to be kind of universal in your good first impression approach. Do you agree with that, Cal?
Well, yeah. And one of the things I'm curious about is how exactly did clients teach you this?
Through trial and error, Cal. You know how I learned that was by making bad first impressions here and there. Honestly, seriously. I learned that through feedback from other people as well who may have watched me give first impressions at the same time. But I learned that through coming and having to backpedal whatever my first impression already was after the session had started. And it was difficult and impacted the work in the beginning. And it just created more work for me, more work for them. And that's why as much thought as you can put into that, and like I said, have the courage to ask yourself, what can I do to improve that first impression after the fact? Or just check in with yourself after every single client, because people are different. You know, there's some people that you're going to have automatic rapport with and you don't need to work on it at all because you're just a similar type, or there's just that little recognition when you look at each other. It's like, oh yeah, I know you, of course. You just naturally like each other. Sometimes that's going to be a little bit different because, let's face it, we're all different people. We have to develop rapport with people that we don't know. You are a stranger to your client, and you're even stranger than that because you're a hypnotist in some aspects. And so, once again, it just drives that initial point home that I mentioned. Are we ready for the next point?
I got it. Move on.
All right, moving on. Let's see here. This is a good one. Wipe your mind clean. And that is to say, treat every case as if it was new, as if you'd never seen it before. And this is one of the common things in working with people as a coach, or as a therapist, or as a hypnotherapist. It's a common problem in the business where the practitioner will say, oh yeah, I've seen that before. Oh yeah, I've seen that before. And sometimes begin to make assumptions about what you think the cause of the client's problem is or what you think they need. Every case is brand new and every case is case specific. The more heuristics that you have that shortcut things, sometimes the worse off it can be. Yes, there is certain types, there are certain themes and this and that, but each client has their own individual theme and you want to really put your thinking cap on and listen as much as possible to the words that come out of the client's mouth in hypnosis and really clarify what their goals are. And, you know, if they come to you for confidence and, you know, don't make assumptions as to what labels you put on what benefits they might need. You know, if they go, oh, well, I want to feel more confident, you ask them, well, confident for what purpose? You don't make assumptions on, oh, yeah, well, they want to be confident because they'll have better relationships or it'll improve their career. Everybody comes to you for their own specific purpose. So what I learned from seeing clients in that is that, and once again, this came through trial and error. This came through mistakes. You know, every time that I would think, oh, yeah, I know what this person needs, or, oh, yeah, I've heard this before, it would end up impacting the work in some way. and I would have to backtrack. And so I think that some of these ideas that I'm sharing with you guys right now are really things that come, you know, you can take your evolution as a hypnotherapist leaps and bounds by learning from someone else's mistakes. Do you know what I mean, Cal?
Yeah, and you're talking about it from probably a different way than I usually think about it, which is good. I think about it as people automatically, they talk to someone and they have like a fear of heights, or maybe they have an eating problem, and they think that the cause is the same as the last person they saw. And everybody's got their own individual cause, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can you tell us a story about how you realized this, a particular client or anything like that?
You know, honestly, I'm kind of blanking on that right now, Cal. Story, I might have to think about it. It'll probably come to me toward the end of the conversation, if that's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just say no massive blunders, just some assumptions that I had in the back of my mind that I don't think I actually acted upon, but I realized weren't true after the work began. And for me, it prevented me from asking the right questions at the right times, and I had to ask them later. And it just cost me some time, cost my client some time, but, you know, I made it up to them, and they're all better anyway, so no harm done, right? Only, you know, and honestly, with hypnotherapy, it's you know, as long as you are an ethical person, hypnosis isn't going to hurt the client. It's up to us to do the things that we need to do simply so that we can save ourselves time. I mean, as Cal always says, it's not brain surgery. But we want to do the best job possible in the shortest amount of time possible. And so it's just one of those tips to help you increase your efficiency. Next point. What's next here? Oh, yeah, what I learned from seeing clients is how to keep your composure. I think. And no, I didn't learn this because I ever lost my composure, but while listening to someone else, perhaps when they have different emotion, or perhaps when they're talking about things that are personal, just it drove home the point. You know, nobody ever said to me, you know, Elrond, it's very important for you to keep your composure with your client. But being in those situations, being in those conversations, having those hypnotherapy sessions when there's ab reactions, keeping one's composure and being able to communicate to your client in the way that they need, not in the way that you feel, is really, really important. What do you want to add to that before I expand on that, Cal?
Oh, boy. You know, in the beginning, I used to get angry at my clients all the time. And I'm the kind of guy that when I'm angry at you, you know it. And because I would think, why is this guy coming in here and not following my instructions? But as I became more sophisticated and more calm, then that went away. See, the thing is, it's okay for you to feel frustrated with your clients. It's okay for you to be angry to feel angry. It's what you do with those feelings that are good, bad, effective, or ineffective. And when you're talking about keeping your composure, that means you may have to sometimes look calm when you're getting a little bit irritated. You ever get irritated with a client?
No, never.
Because, you know, doing hypnotherapy or hypnosis with someone is an agreement. It's a contract. And they come in saying, you know, they're going to pay you this money, and your end of the deal is that you're going to do the very best using your skills as appropriate in an ethical way. And then when clients don't follow instructions, of course you're going to feel frustrated. You may even feel angry, because anger comes from the perception of not fair. If you feel like they're just jerking you around, and there are actually not very many, there's a few clients who will do that. For example, the stop smoking client. They're at that point in their life where they don't really want to stop smoking, but maybe a friend or a family member has been saying, you got to quit, you got to quit, you got to quit, and they're nagging them and nagging them until they get to the point where they say, look, I've tried everything. And they say, well, did you try hypnosis? And so they come in intentionally wanting to fail with the hypnosis, and they won't follow instructions just so they can go back to their husband or wife or whatever and say, look, I tried hypnosis and it didn't work either, so leave me alone. So it's okay for you to feel those feelings, but you must always keep your composure and act professionally. Is that kind of what you're getting at there, Elron?
That really gets at what I'm getting at, Cal. Thank you for clarifying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that pretty much wraps up that topic. Like Cal said, keeping a straight face is important no matter what the feelings are inside, because it's not about you, it's about your client. Next one on the list, what I learned from seeing clients. And you know, if you guys don't know, I got like a list of all these things. I'm trying to pick which one feels most relevant right now. Let's see here. Well, there's mindset, but, you know, it's interesting. It's like, what did you learn from clients that you didn't learn from class or from videos? There's some things that I may have learned in class and from videos that I didn't really learn until I saw about 100 clients. One of them, the most important, which is trust your own subconscious mind and to trust the subconscious mind of your client. And that is, with insight-oriented work, which is what we do with Five Path, which is what age regression is about, we know that the answers are within the subconscious mind of the client. They have the solutions to their problem because, after all, they've lived with it long enough. As a hypnotherapist, sometimes we want to find the solutions. As any coach or guide, you want to just give them solutions. Sometimes you may be talking to them and they'll be sitting there and you know the solution right there, at least as it looks through your lens. You go, yeah, you just need to do this, but you can't say that. They need to discover those solutions for themselves. And what you need to do is to trust their subconscious mind to do that and to trust that the solution that's perfect for them is actually there. And even if it doesn't come right away, just having patience with that and trusting your own subconscious mind's ability to guide them so they can find the solution with their own subconscious mind. And that's not to say that practice isn't important, but I would say, and that, you know, learning the technique isn't important, but I would say having the hope or even the belief that that's there, not the necessarily the expectation, although that is important. Don't expect it to be there, but know that it is there. And when you know that it's there, you'll be able to find it. Do you have anything you want to add on that before I expand on that, Cal?
Wait, do you have more of this, more insight for the next episode?
Yeah, of course. Oh, I do. Maybe a half an episode worth, and then I'll talk about another soapbox.
Okay.
Yeah, but let's see, is there anything? Yeah, trusting your own subconscious mind. I mean, your subconscious mind's job is to answer questions. Okay? For instance, if you ask yourself, well, what did I eat for breakfast this morning? You come up with an answer. If you ask yourself, what do I need to do to make more money? You might come up with an answer, although that's a lot more complicated. But asking your subconscious mind questions just like that during the session, how can I help this client? What do they need to find out? What do they need to know? How can they be free of this issue? Asking yourself those questions on a conscious or subconscious level is going to happen. And know that when you're asking a question of your client, the answer will come, even if it's in a form or a metaphor or a feeling or a knowing that you as a practitioner may not understand. The client has their own world of labels and meaning and, NLP term, internal representations that make up the insights that are going to be the very things, the very thoughts, feelings, and images that take them from where they were to where they want to go. They always say the conscious mind is the goal setter, the subconscious mind is the goal getter. And so asking those questions, knowing it's there, having faith in the process, made all the difference for me, and I only got that from seeing enough clients to really get that hammered in my thick head. So, we are out of time. Thank you for watching this episode. I strongly encourage you to take action to build your hypnosis practice and to build up your skill as a hypnotherapist. Remember that everything counts. Thank you so much for watching this video, and I'll see you on the next episode.
Good. Give them a website.
HypnosisCenter.com. You want to go there right now and look below. We got some, HypnosisCenter.com has got some good stuff. CalBannon.com, obviously, look below. We got links and tricks and tips and other goodies that will make this a better video for you. And check out Hypnosis.org. Buy some of these products. Be a great hypnotherapist, because there's a difference between good and great. Thanks for watching.
Did you give them your website?
Oh, SafeEffectiveHypnosis.com. Thanks, Cal.
That's what I meant. Okay. Hey, see you in class. We got a class coming up in July. 9th through the 20th. This is the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course. Get everything you need to get into this profession. Also, October 29th through November 9th. Register now. Get early registration discounts. And then for you guys who are already certified in May, if you can wait that long, I don't know how you can do it, but May 20th we begin the Week of Power. And of course, the NGH Convention, usually, I think just about every year, we have the Week of Power also. That's it. Cal Banyan, signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.